So Father, we just come together and we just glorify you and just a fellowship with each other tonight, Lord. And we just thank you for just all that you're doing in our lives, Lord. We just thank you for what you're doing to crucify this flesh and allow us to get separated from just the world and what it offers and just get our eyes focused and on you and what is to come. And Lord, we just, things just seem like it's ramping up and trials are getting ramped up. And we just thank you for just helping us keep our eyes on you and just bringing us through just dying to this old flesh. We just thank you for that, Lord. We just ask you to bless this night tonight and guide us tonight. And we just thank you for this tool, Lord, that we can come together and just fellowship and just share. And we just bind up the principalities and powers that try to bring any distractions, try to bring any issues in any of the equipment or any of the connections. And we just thank you, Lord, that you're going to just provide a blessed night tonight. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to start off. I met a gentleman today that he asked if I would keep his dad and his sister both in prayer. They're both dealing with cancer. I believe they're Baptists, and I was talking to him about the cause for the curse and if unforgiveness and a few things like that. And I mean, he just doesn't understand the fullness there. But he asked me if I would just keep him in prayer, and so I'd like to just pray for them and just kind of join our faith. He's a real good guy. He works at the local college here, and I was working with him today, and he's a pretty strong believer, but you know, he's got that, you know, kind of a little bit of that, you know, Baptist spirit, and doesn't have the fullness, but he really wants to please God. He's really got a. And this was a gentleman. Actually, his dad was a gentleman. I shared a testimony. I went over there to help him out in something else, and I went up to him, and he was on a breathing machine. And that, I said, "Hey, Dad, can we pray for you?" And he just reached out his arms, bowed his head, and just says, "Pray for me." And I mean, he was just. And he was amen when I was praying, and you know, it was a blessing the time I prayed for him. But I was praying for something with his lungs, and now I was told that he's got some type of dealing with some kind of a cancer that he found. And so, Father, I just lift up Willie's father and his sister, and they're both have a bout with cancer, Lord. And Father, I don't know what the cause of the curse is, Lord, but they claim to be believers, and he asked us to pray, and we just want to put our faith together and for them. So right now, we just take authority over these spirits of cancer, and we just call them to curse them in the name of Jesus. We call this cancer to die. This manifestation to go in the name of Jesus. We just forbid it in Jesus' name. And Father, we just ask you just do a miracle here and that you will get the glory, for this miracle. And we just thank you that it is done, that we put our faith together. We just believe for Willie. We don't know where his faith is or where he stands, but he asked for prayer. And we just come together in faith. And we just thank you for just healing his dad and setting him free of this attack and setting his sister free, from this cancer. And we just thank you, Lord. Father, we just pray that you would just give them a hunger for you, hunger for truth, And, you know, if there's anything in them, Lord, we just ask you to give them a dream that you just expose. If there's any unforgiveness or anything going on, any cause for this curse, and we just thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Does anybody else have any prayer requests or need prayer or like to pray for anybody? Let me ask you, is anybody have, you know, any, just anything they'd like to share? Any testimonies? Anything on their heart? Anything the Lord's showing you? Any dreams? Revelation?
Jim?
That's yes. Hey, Judy.
I want to share, you know, the other day I had everybody pray for my daughter that had smoked again and that they were going to try to decide maybe even send her to another place. But they made a decision today. The Lord made her wait a little bit, but he was really, oh, the Lord is so awesome. He was really giving her favor. They didn't even give her more time or take more time off on her phone. They're going to make her do a lot of work around there and jobs and stuff. But, boy, he has been so awesome with her. And I said, you just better thank God, boy, because he was really with you, you know, and I think, I really believe that she knows that, and I just want to praise him and thank him because he just is so awesome. I just, it's just wonderful that he did that for her.
Amen. So, Father, we just thank you for your favor for Judy's daughter. We just ask, Lord, that you just, if there's somebody in there that can speak the gospel to her, that can just, you know, water whatever's been planted. We just ask that you just give Judy's daughter just a hunger for truth and that you will just draw her towards that truth, Lord. Give her a hunger for your word. If she doesn't have a Bible, have somebody give her a Bible. Just draw her to truth, Lord. And we just thank you for her salvation, Lord. Father, you're chastening her right now, and, you know, you got her in this, you know, this, you know, prison because of, you know, whatever bad choices that she's made. And, Lord, I just ask you, just give her a change of mind, just a spirit of repentance, and to just really want to get right with you and you know, come into the fullness of what you've got for her. So, Father, we just thank you for her salvation. We thank you for just the favor you're showing her, and we give you the glory, and we just thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father, so very much. We give him all the glory for sure. Thank you.
Amen. All right, anybody else want to brag on the Lord or have anything on their heart like to share?
Yeah, Tim, I just thought David had a really outstanding message last night to, well, it was started out about women, but then at the end it was to parents, and I thought that was really just an outstanding message because there's just so many parents anymore who are not parents to their children. They don't discipline them, they just aren't parents, and it shows in what's going on in the world. So that's all I have.
Yeah, that's really, that's so true. And you see the situations out there. And I know my daughter and son went to they were invited to a cookout. And it was some people that my son works with, you know, and they were having, I think it was a baby shower or something like that. She was pregnant, having a baby. And you know, they went to this cookout. And she came back afterwards, and she was just totally appalled at how, because there was a bunch of parents there, their age, you know, they're in their, you know, 20s, and just young parents, and she was just totally appalled at how these moms were treating their kids and the situations going on and, you know, just what they're allowing their kids to get away with. It was really an eye-opener because these were just, I mean, they were worldly people because it was somebody from work, but she was just amazed at what she was seeing. And that's the whole thing is, you know, just, you know, the world is just, I don't know, it's just in a tough, it's just, it's all about, feeding flesh and this and that, but there's no nurturing, there's no, very little love. And these kids are growing up in these situations, and now with all the games and stuff like that, a lot of the parents are just gamers, and, they're just, spending the time on the games and not with the kids, or, doing their things. And I don't know. It's not going to get any better, because these kids are going to grow up and they're going to be worse to their children. So it's just the world is really deteriorating. And I really noticed it, when I had my business. I'd try to hire young people, and they would come in and they had no work ethic. They didn't even make their beds. I mean, their mothers made their beds. They cooked for them. They cleaned for them. I mean, they didn't even, the dads cut the grass. I mean, they really didn't do anything around the house and really didn't know how to work. And, the parents are just, for some reason, just, spoiling the kids and not teaching them how to, provide for themselves or how to do anything. And that's where our society is these days. So,
yeah, I used to blame the parent or the children, but when we started going to detention centers and prisons, I realized it's not the kids; it's the parents' fault.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Tim, can I relate something?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, my wife went down to Gulf Shores this last week, and. We've got a year and a half, I think it's about a year and a half old grandson that my youngest daughter has. And of course she only sees him for a few hours at a time. Well, she spent 4 days with him down there, and she found out pretty quick on that he's not the little angel that he displays when she comes and visit, that he'll throw fits and tantrums, and they don't allow discipline, she was taught, my daughter was taught. Now her husband is her husband's father is a professor at a college, and, I don't know, just kind of a upper middle class people, but they didn't, the discipline was not in the family. And she said that our grandson would just lay down in the floor and throw a fit, and she'd smack him on the behind, tell him to stop it. And my son-in-law would just pick him up and walk out the room with him, she said, he didn't want her correcting this child. Let me tell you something about correcting child. I think everybody on here knows that if you don't correct that child, he grows up to be 16 years old. He's going to be throwing the same kind of fits to get his way. And not only that, he strikes his mother and he strikes his father. Now he won't do that to Jeanette because she strikes back. But what happens when those children get up to 13, 14, 15, 16 years old, if they don't get their way, they strike out, and it's just a mess. Thought I'd throw that in there. You're right. That this generation just doesn't know it. My children were brought up under, the paddle. I didn't have to use it very often, but when we did, we let it count. I don't understand the mindset that they have that you don't discipline. They didn't. I think she told me that he thinks that if you hit that child, if you strike that child, he'll learn to strike somebody else, right? And it works just the opposite of that, because hurt, they don't like hurt, and they don't want to relate bad habits to hurt, but anyway, just thought I'd throw that in there.
Yeah, I just My parents are pretty strict, and my dad, he taught us a work ethic. I mean, we had chores and we had things that we had to do, and we didn't get allowance. It was just something that was expected to be done. And I appreciate him for it, because as I grew up, I wasn't afraid to work, and But the discipline, I mean, I remember it was in sixth grade that I ended up getting a SWAT from one of my teachers because we were goofing off, you know, a group of us. And that SWAT put me right in line. It was like, that thing hurts so bad. And it was, I did not want to end up, you know, in that situation again. So it just straightened me right out. And, you know, but it does. It'll definitely get your attention. But nowadays, it's like, you know, you can't spank a kid or even talk about spanking a kid. But it goes deeper than that. It's, you know, when I was, because I haven't watched television for, you know, it's probably going on 20 years, that was something that, you know, back then, I mean, I saw it as a something that was dividing in my family between my wife and I. You know, I would come home from work and, you know, this is when I was still in the world, and I would, you know, bring home my six pack of beer and I would turn on, you know, MASH or whatever it was in the kitchen, and, you know, Trish would be doing her own thing. And, you know, we just really, when we came to the Lord, we just saw that the television was just, you know, it wasn't a good thing. And we, the grace of God, we just kind of just walked away from it. But when I see television nowadays, it's pretty shocking because, I mean, the people that watch it all the time aren't, you know, they're accustomed to everything that's on that television. But when I was at the waiting room at the hospital, you know, when my daughter was having her baby, they had, you know, there was in this waiting room, they had a television in there, and they had some, you know, little kids. I mean, they were probably, you know, 3, 5 years old watching these, you know, and I don't know if it was a Disney Channel or what it was, but I was appalled at the, you know, at the programming, the attitudes that were being, you know, just the selfishness and the attitudes and just everything that was being portrayed on that television. And I'm just thinking, man, it is just setting these kids up. It, you know, it was sassy. I was like, wow, why are the parents allowing these kids to watch this junk? And, but it was, I mean, that's what it has become. It's just de-edifying, it's making fun of, it's, you know, that's what television is. It's just, it makes fun of, you know, people and the cartoons and the kids' programming is just falling in line with that. And it's really, you know, that's why I guess they call it programming, but it's really, you know, from what I see, it's not a good thing, but that's really what the world, you know, is offering. So, but, yeah.
And
I guess, go ahead, Marla.
If you watch some of those things that even grandparents will buy for little children, they sneak the New Age things in there. They sneak them in there. If you aren't really, don't know how to watch for them, you know, most people miss it. But there's a lot of New Age stuff and things that little kids are watching.
Oh yeah, there's New Age, there's witchcraft, there's all kinds of things. Oh, there's even Agenda. I was watching something, it was all about, you know, just, you know, clean earth and, you know, I don't know. There was just a lot of, I was just seeing so much underlying things in there. But yeah, they've got all kinds of things in there as far as potions and witchcraft and all kinds of things. So, but this world is getting darker, and that's all part of it. I mean, it's just, it's not going to get any better. So the kids that are brought up in this, I mean, their generations, that's why I'm hoping that this shaking is going to be soon. So, because it's getting a little scary out there. All right, anybody else? Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's Bernie. Hey, Bernie.
Yeah, I watch a fair bit of TV because I help take care of a guy, and that's his daily routine is watching a lot of TV. So even if I'm cooking or whatever, so I see a lot of TV. And what I notice in the commercials is the commercials definitely have an agenda, and it's not selling soap. One that surprised me was, I don't know if you have the same commercials probably do in the States as we do in Canada, but for Febreze, this boy is about 15 years old, and his mother comes in and says, oh, your room just smells. This is awful. You're having friends over. And so then, you know, he sprays Febreze and straightens up his room. But then there's like about three 15-year-old girls come over and say, oh, it smells nice, you know. And I'm thinking, three girls are coming over to his bedroom? And I thought, well, that's a different, you know, they're changing people's mindsets, because that's not something that I would have thought acceptable. And there's another one where a couple of hockey players, and they're in the penalty box. And I can't remember what it's for, some kind of a food thing. But the one player goes up to the other player and puts his hand up, and they sort of touch each other through the glass, saying, and the thing says, well, sorry, you know, like, I was just hungry, you know, I didn't really mean it type of thing. But it's the thing they're pushing is the physical contact between the masculine men, like the homosexuality type of thing. It's not the food. And there are so many other ones, like dish soap or this detergent where they make the husband look like an idiot, you know, because he's spraying Pam on his dishes, you know, and he's such an idiot. And of course the wife knows better. And a lot of the commercials are like that. It's the programming also, the programs are the same way. But those are some of the commercials. So I noticed quite a bit in commercials. It's a total agenda, and it's not to sell the product. It's to sell morality or an idea. That's it.
Yeah, that's the other thing I had. I really don't see any television, but I had somebody who was kind of, you know, worldly person, kind of a borderline, you know, just coming into the kingdom type person, but they really don't have any of the fullness. But they were just shocked because of the gay agenda. It's like every program, every sitcom, everything out there now, they've got to bring the gay agenda in. And he was telling me in the last couple of years, it has just been ramped up in just all programming. It's just everywhere, and they're really pushing that, you know, through the programming, and you know, that's all part of the beast plan. I mean, it's all part of the corruption of this world, the deterioration of truth, and it's all that. I mean, it just goes into programming, you know, the kids watching it and everything else. So they just want it all just acceptable. So but yeah, it's another huge thing. And even the language and the sex, I mean, everything is cleavage and, you know, they keep pushing the realm with the swearing, with everything. So they're just pushing it to see how far they can go. So, all right, anybody else?
Another comment on that, Bernie again. Sometimes, because on my own I don't really watch TV, but sometimes I like to listen to radio, and sometimes I listen to oldies on the internet. And it's interesting, some of the 50s and 60s, some of the songs, and what they basically are saying about relationships. And even then, it's like very physical. Like, you know, you're going to sleep with the girl or whatever type of a thing. And so you know, I realize, like, I would be pretty young when I'd first heard those songs, but they sort of plant the idea of what a relationship is between a man and a woman with this fantasy type of a thing. And so when a person's trying to figure things out in life and get to know people or a relationship, they have a totally wrong expectation. And so I found even with with my ex or whatever, I think she had a Disney expectation of what a relationship is and what a man is. You're really at a disadvantage. So no one really knows what a true relationship is, you know, because most people don't grow up with a solid family, especially anymore. And all the examples are totally wrong. So everybody thinks that what's being portrayed is the norm. But I could see it back in the old material, too. So it's not just the new stuff that was there, maybe more subtle, but it was definitely there when the technology wasn't as great as it is now. Amen. That's it.
Yeah. No, that's true, but it was there, but it's really degraded now. I mean, the music now, some of the, you know, the rap and some of the music out there, somebody had shared with me, I don't know if it was a teacher or somebody that wrote out the lyrics of the songs, and she had a class of girls and wrote out the lyrics of the songs and showed what these songs were really saying and how they were portraying women. And I mean, a lot of these songs, I mean, the women are whores, and I mean, they're just betraying women as just really, I mean, it's not good. But it's a, you know, it's a famous person or it's a great beat, and they're, you know, they're listening to this stuff. But when you really look at what the songs, and there's all kinds of occult and things in the songs too. So, you know, that's just another ploy of the beast, that's just all part of just, you know, the corruption of this world. So, but it's everywhere. It's coming into the books. I mean, they're pushing Islam and everything in the books in school now. I mean, it's just, everything is just totally against Christianity and, you know, the true God and that. So it's all, I mean, the government's got an agenda. I mean, the world's got an agenda, and it's just, they're pushing it wherever they can push it. In the games kids are playing, it's all about murdering, killing, and you know, stealing cars and sex, and I mean, it's all corrupt. So, amen. So, all right, what else? Who else has got something on their heart? The Lord's been showing them.
Hey, Tim.
Yes, sir.
I've been reading Jacob Beam, and he's out of I believe he's out of the 17th century, but he's got a confession before the face of God that is very interesting, and it's not very long. If I might read this, I think you'll get a gist of, it's really something that I believe will help some people. What do you think?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, it's called A Short Form of Confession Before the Face of God. And it says above it, it says, everyone, as his case and necessity requires, may order and enlarge this confession as the Holy Ghost shall teach him. I will only set down a short direction. Now, this is somebody who's coming in repentance. O thou great unsearchable God, Lord of all things, thou who in Christ Jesus of great love toward us hast manifested thyself with thy holy substance in our humanity. I, poor, unworthy, sinful wretch, come before thy presence, which thou hast manifested in the humanity of Jesus Christ. Though I am not worthy to lift up mine eyes to thee, acknowledging and confessing before thee that I am guilty of unfaithfulness and breaking off from thy great love and grace, which thou hast freely bestowed upon us, I have left the covenant, which of mere grace thou hast made with me in baptism, in which thou didst receive me to be a child and heir of eternal life. And I have brought my desire into the vanity of this world and defiled my soul therewith and made it altogether bestial and earthly, so that my soul knoweth not itself because of the mire of sin, but accounteth itself a strange child before thy faith, not worthy to desire thy grace. I lie in the guilt and filth of sin and the vanity of my corrupt flesh up to the very lips of my soul, and have but a small spark of the living breath left in me which desireth thy grace. I am dead in sin and corruption, so that in this woeful condition I dare not lift up mine eyes to thee. O God in Christ, thou who for poor sinners' sakes didst become man to help them, to thee I complain, to thee I have yet a spark of refuge in my soul. I have not regarded thy purchased inheritance, which thou hast purchased for us poor men by thy bitter death, but have made myself a partaker of the heritage of vanity in the anger of my father, in the curse of the earth, and am ensnared in sin and half dead as to thy kingdom. I lie in feebleness as to thy strength, and the wrathful death waiteth for me. The devil hath poisoned me so that I know not my Savior. I am become a wild branch on thy tree, and have consumed mine inheritance, which is in thee, with the devil's swine. What shall I say before thee, who am not worthy of thy grace? I lie in the sleep of death, which hath captivated me, and am fast bound with three strong chains. O thou breaker through death, assist me, I beseech thee. I cannot, I am able to do nothing. I am dead in myself, and have no strength before thee. Neither dare I, for great shame, lift up mine eyes unto thee. For I am the defiled keeper of swine, and have spent mine inheritance with the false, adulterous whore of vanity in the lust of the flesh. I have sought myself in my own lust and not thee. Now in myself I am become a fool. I am naked and bare. My shame stands before mine eyes. I cannot hide it. Thy judgment waiteth for me. What shall I say before thee, who art the judge of all the world? I have nothing to bring before thee. Here I stand naked and bare in thy presence, and fall down before thy face, bewailing my misery, and fly to thy great mercy, though I am not worthy of it. Yet receive me but in thy death, and let me but die from my death in thine. Cast me down, I pray thee, to the ground in my innate self, and kill this self of mine through thy death, that I may live no more to myself, seeing I in myself work nothing but sin. Therefore, I pray thee, cast down to the ground this wicked beast, which is full of false deceit and self-desire, and deliver this poor soul of mine from its heavy bonds. O merciful God, it is owing to thy love and long-suffering that I lie not already in hell. I yield myself with my whole will, senses, and mind unto thy grace and fly to thy mercy. I call upon thee through thy death from that small spark of life in me, encompassed with death and hell, which opened their throat against me and would wholly swallow me up in death. Upon thee I call, who has promised that thou wilt not quench the smoking flax. I have no other way to thee but by thy own bitter death and passion, because thou hast made our death life by thy humanity and broken the chains of death, and therefore I sink the desire of my soul down into thy death, into the gate of thy death which thou hast broke open. O thou great fountain of the love of God, I beseech thee, help me that I may die from my vanity and sin in the death of my Redeemer Jesus Christ. O thou breath of the great love of God, quicken, I beseech thee, my weak breath in me, that it may begin to hunger and thirst after thee. O Lord Jesus, thou sweet strength, I beseech thee, give my soul to drink of thy fountain of grace, thy sweet water of eternal life, that it may awake from death and thirst after thee. O how extreme fainting I am for want of thy strength. O merciful God, do thou turn me, I beseech thee. I cannot turn myself. O thou vanquisher of death, help me, I pray thee, to wrestle. How fast doth the enemy hold me with his three chains, and will not suffer the desire of my soul to come before thee. I beseech thee, come and take the desire of my soul into thyself. Be thou my drawing to the Father, and deliver me from the devil's bonds. Look not upon my deformity in standing naked before thee, having lost thy garment. I pray thee, do but thou clothe that breathe, which yet liveth in me, and panteth after thy grace, and so shall I yet see thy salvation. O thou deep love, I pray thee, take the desire of my soul into thee. Bring it forth out of the bonds of death through thy death in thy resurrection in thee. O quicken me in thy strength, that my desire and will may begin to spring up and flourish anew. O thou vanquisher of death and of the wrath of God, do thou overcome in me self. Break its will and bruise my soul, that it may fear before thee and be ashamed of its own will before thy judgment, and that it may be ever obedient to thee as an instrument of thine. Subdue it in the bonds of death. Take away its power, that it may will nothing without thee. O God, the Holy Ghost in Christ, my Savior, teach me, I pray thee, what I shall do, that I may turn to thee. O draw me in Christ to the Father, and help me that now and from henceforward I may go forth from sin and vanity and never any more enter into them again. Stir up in me a true sorrow for the sins I have committed. O keep me in thy bonds and let me not loose from thee again, lest the devil sift me in my wicked flesh and blood and bring me again into the death of death. O enlighten my spirit that I may see the divine path and walk in it continually. But take that away from me, which always turneth me away from thee, and give me that which always turneth me to thee. Take me wholly from myself, and give me wholly to thyself. Oh, let me begin nothing. Let me will, think, and do nothing without thee. Oh, Lord, how long? Indeed, I am not worthy of that which I desire of thee. I pray thee, let the desire of my soul dwell but in the gates of thy courts. Make it but a servant of thy servants. O preserve it from that horrible pit wherein there is no comfort or refreshment. O God in Christ Jesus, I am blind in myself and know not myself because of vanity. Thou art hidden from me in my blindness, and yet thou art near unto me. But thy wrath, which my desire hath awakened in me, hath made me dark. O take but the desire of my soul to thee. Prove it, O Lord, and bruise it that my soul may obtain a ray of thy sweet grace. I lie before thee as a dying man whose life is passing from his lips as a small spark going out. Kindle it, O Lord, and raise up the breath of my soul before thee. Lord, I wait for thy promise which thou hast made, saying, as I live, I will not the death of a sinner, but that he shall turn and live. I sink myself down into the death of my Redeemer, Jesus Christ, and wait for thee, whose word is truth and life. Amen.
That was really good. There was a lot in there as far as that. But I really see where, you know, it's talking about the sin and vanity, you know. That's what this world is. It's just, this world is nothing but vanity and nothing but sin. And we got to come out of this world. And, you know, our soul, our mind, will, and emotions, you know, has to be renewed with Christ. But, you know, it's just, it's dealing with this flesh, you know, crucifying this flesh is the difficult part. And that's something I've been, man, I just, you know, we've got this, you know, we're made up of spirit, soul, and body, but it's this flesh that, you know, it just doesn't want to die. It's just something that doesn't want to die. And I've just been, man, I've just been fighting the flesh. It's been fighting, you know, I want the Lord's will. I want the Lord's, you know, I want the mind of Christ, and I keep renewing my mind and in the Word and stuff like that. I think it was Strong's or something, and it was talking about our flesh is a material organism that is animated by our soul and spirit. And it is, and I saw that as it's a material organism. It's material, and it seeks material, and that's why it's materialistic. You know, it just seeks material, and it wants to be fed. And, you know, so our flesh is an organism that's made up of many organs that all operate together to sustain this body. You know, our heart, our arteries and veins and lungs and nerves and muscles and, you know, even our ears and our tongue. And, you know, without the life of the spirit, you know, or the mind of the soul, you know, the flesh is pretty much useless. And this flesh is animated or infused with life through our spirit and soul. And depending on a person's spirit or soul is why some flesh is more animated than others. And, you know, when we come in, you know, by faith, the Lord has, you know, redeemed our spirit, you know, so he's, you know, kind of liberated or rescued our spirit from captivity or bondage or death, you know. And as we walk in faith, you know, we're renewing or being renewed in our soul, which is our mind, you know, and our will and emotions, or, you know, but the, you know, the, you know, so it's coming into the mind of Christ and God's will. But our flesh, I mean, the, you know, is corrupt and it's fallen, and it's only subject to the grave and decay. And, you know, Romans talk about that the mind of the flesh is the enemy against God, you know, because it's not subject to the law of God. And it says it can't be. So our carnal mind, the mental inclinations or the purpose of our flesh, is just an enemy against God. And the thoughts of that carnal mind, or the will of that carnal mind, is just against God. And its natural tendency is corrupt and evil. And it's just, it's self-seeking, it's lustful, and it just seeks pleasure, and it wants to feed itself. And, you know, we're in this corrupt world of sin and vanity, which all feeds the flesh. And we gotta put that flesh to death. And we've got our flesh doesn't want to die, and then we've got the demons or the spiritual realm that is trying to keep that flesh revived. And 2 Corinthians says that many glory after the flesh. And Ephesians says, no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherishes it. So, you know, I just see where the flesh is, you know, our human or animal nature, our corrupt nature, our carnal appetite. Now, flesh has its own will, and there's just no way to satisfy it. And when it gets what it's lusting for, it always wants more. And 1 Corinthians says, not many wise after the flesh. So if you're living in the flesh, I mean, it's just, you got worldly wisdom, but there's no wisdom of God. Romans says, in the flesh dwells no good thing. John says, the flesh profits nothing. And Jude says, our garment is spotted by our flesh. So, Romans says, in our flesh are the sinful passions, which were through the law, which is the law of sin, brings forth fruit unto death. So, you know, basically flesh just wants to defile our soul. It wants to destroy our spirit. It is the enemy of our life. Is the enemy of our salvation. And Galatians says, but as then that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, so also is it now. So I'm seeing that the old man is always going to try to persecute our spirit man. Demons are always going to persecute our spirit man. The world is going to persecute our spirit man. Anyone not born of the Spirit is going to persecute our spirit man. So we've got, I mean, just all these aspects against our spirit man bringing Christ out in us. And it's a battle. And it's just, sometimes I get to the point where I just, man, I hate my flesh. You know, I just, when I'm feeling I'm, you know, just walking in the Spirit or something, it's just, you know, there's always a backdoor attempt or something that would just, you know, just tempt the flesh. I mean, this world is, you know, ruthless as far as just, you know, just constantly tempting, trying to feed the flesh. And Galatians says the works of the flesh are manifested, which are fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, sorcery. I mean, the list goes on and on. Strife and jealousy and wrath and factions. And these are all the character of the flesh. You know, it's not the character of Christ or the character of God. It's just those are all, you know, revelings and drunkenness. And I mean, that's all the character of the flesh. And it says, and such alike. I mean, this is just only the beginning. I mean, it just goes on, is what, you know, the character of the flesh is. Of which I forewarned you, even as I did forewarn you, that they who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So, I mean, just all these lusts are just out there so we don't inherit the kingdom of God. And we're told to walk by the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And I just see where the flesh is just corruptible and earthly and temporal, and the spirit is incorruptible and heavenly and eternal. And, you know, flesh leads to death, and the spirit leads to life. Now, the flesh is bondage, and the spirit is liberty. Flesh is selfish, and the spirit is selfless. For he that soweth unto his own flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. So if we are selfish and self-seeking, and we are carnal and fleshly, then we're idolaters. You know, we worship ourselves, and we're given over to our own will instead of God's will for us. First Peter says, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory thereof as the flowers of the grass. The grass withereth, and the flowers falleth. John says, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. So I was just saying that we need to be born of the Spirit and not of the blood, and not walk after the will of the flesh or the will of the old man, but to walk after the will of God. And we need to move from that realm of the flesh over into the realm of the Spirit, and not just in hearing and talking, but in doing and walking. And is that the men that walk after the flesh in the lust of the defilement despise dominion. So the flesh doesn't need God. It thinks it is God. It goes on to say, who are daring and self-willed, who rail at dignities. And the flesh doesn't need a savior. It believes it's its own savior. It can save itself. They are creatures without reason, born mere animals to be taken and destroyed, spots and blemishes. The flesh is irrational and it's unreasonable. It is void of reason and is not agreeable to the will of God. Without a renewed spirit and a soul, it was born just a mere beast to be taken and destroyed. Having eyes full of adultery and cannot cease from sin. So the flesh can never be trusted or faithful to anyone other than itself. Because it is driven by its lusts, it will never stay a virgin, it will never stay pure until the wedding feast. It's enticing unsteadfast souls, which is without the renewed mind of Christ, your soul is trapped, deluded, beguiled, and unstable. Having a heart or a mind exercised in covetousness, children of cursing. And the mind of the flesh is trained to covet because it is never satisfied with what it has. It desires more and is excessively eager to obtain and possess more, to lift itself above others and to impress others. Never maturing children, just under the curse. 15 says, they have forsaken the right way, they have gone astray. Having followed the way of wrongdoing, they themselves are bondservants of corruption, servants to uncleanness and servants to iniquity, unto iniquity. So the flesh is never going to sell to the Spirit. It is sold out to itself. The Spirit man walks according to the Spirit of God and not according to the flesh. Only the devil and the flesh itself are interested in keeping the old man alive, becoming bondservants of corruption, uncleanness, and iniquity unto iniquity as a place of rest. Unless we're born of the Spirit, we're just flesh. John says, that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So we need to renew our minds, thinking in spirit, not in flesh, thinking eternal, not temporal, thinking spiritual, not material. We cannot abide in the flesh and spirit at the same time. We cannot abide in sin and righteousness at the same time. cannot abide both in the world and in heaven at the same time. We cannot abide in Satan and Christ at the same time. We just need to crucify the flesh. God will never stroke or coddle our flesh. He will never cater to it or embrace it. He will not nurture, comfort, spoil, or nourish it. God does not appreciate it, admire it, like it, or even care for it. He'll never honor it, encourage it, entertain it, or please it. He is not going to guard, sustain, defend, or preserve our flesh. He will not allow it to be satisfied or gratified. He only wants us to put it to death. And the enemy must be put to death. That was kind of my take on the flesh. And no flesh shall glory before God. No flesh will be justified in his sight. They that are in the flesh cannot please God, and flesh cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So we're in the battle of putting this flesh to death and getting the renewed mind and getting out of the world of corruption, sin, and vanity, coming into, you know, the fullness of Christ. And, you know, I've shared before, it just seems like, you know, I'm crucifying my flesh one cell at a time. And it just keeps wanting to revive itself. And, you know, you can tell how powerful the flesh is when you decide that you want to do something like, you know, fast or give up coffee or entertainment or something like that. You know, it's just that flesh just totally freaks out and starts yelling at your head. You start hearing, you know, I mean, I just, there's, you know, times where I decide to fast off coffee and I just had that. I mean, that, you know, just screaming, you know, wants its coffee, you know. So I don't know. I've just been battling my flesh and trying to put it to death. That's, you know, that's just something that this crucified life is, you know, we need to put this flesh to death so we can be resurrected. And so I'm just here trying to put this flesh to death, and it just keeps just wanting to live. So I don't know if anybody else relates to that.
Amen.
Any thoughts?
Hey, what, Tim?
What's that, Michael?
Somebody else is trying to talk, I think.
Who is that? That made
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, it's me, Sue.
Hey, Sue. How you doing, Sue?
Trying to put the flesh under.
Amen.
I can relate to what you're saying. My trip coming back was quite an ordeal, to say the least, and the flesh got in the way. It took me about 12 hours to get home, which is a little bit more than the norm. I had detours I had to go through because of traffic, and then you know how when you're driving, and the more you drive, the tireder you can get, and especially when you got a long trip. And I would stop and I would get something to drink that had a little bit of caffeine in it, and so by the time I was in upper part of Virginia, this thought came to me, which I should have not taken. It was the enemy, that I should take a different route. It was starting to get dark. I should have just stopped. And I didn't stop. Praise the Lord, nothing happened to me, to the car or me or anything like that. But I took this other route, which I hadn't taken for years, my husband and I took it one time, and I said, I'm never going that route again, because it was a mountain road, and it was high up, and there was a cliff and everything, and I mean, it was dark out there, but of course, the enemy made sure that I was reminded of that when I was on that road, and I started to get into fear, and I mean, the Lord still protected me from all that. But it wore me out physically, you know, with everything. I should have stopped. I repented over that. I repented of not listening to the Lord and following his way. So I get home. When I finally get home, I can't sleep. So I'm already overly tired. Can't sleep. So then I thought, okay, I'm just gonna play a game or something. Well, you know, one of, like, these card games, whatever. And, I mean, we did that when we were kids. And I know that I have to be, I mean, because there's games. These kids play games in here. And I realized I shouldn't have done that. I had to repent for that because I didn't get enough sleep. Even though I was wide awake and couldn't get to sleep, that didn't help me. And the Lord reminded me, hey, you know what? If you would have just gotten my word, enemy would not like that, so that would help you sleep. So anyway, I'm my flesh is battling that, right? So the next day I saw how long the grass was, and I pushed Mo to help me get back into shape. So I started pushing Mo, and I was still like, really kind of like had so much energy, even though all this running that I did, you know, driving and all, took its toll on me because I didn't realize what was to come, you know. But I got spanked by the Lord big time. And I'm thankful that he did do that to me. But anyway, so I did mowing most of the day. By the nighttime, I was still fired. When I have to drink coffee, when I'm traveling like that, when I have to drink coffee or something with some caffeine, I have to gradually get off of it. Otherwise, I would get a migraine. And I try not to get too much of it if I don't have to. But the whole trip back was not the best for me at all. But anyway, Friday evening, I started feeling really, really overly. I mean, I was wide awake, but I still felt like really didn't feel right. Saturday morning, I woke up and my throat was real sore and swollen. And I had to pray, Lord, bring healing to my body. This is not to be. And I had to repent of all these things that I listened to my flesh over, thinking, you know, well, this is the way to go, you know, which really wasn't. And being overly tired makes it easy for the flesh to operate, if you know what I mean.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, so here I come to find out, too, that Christian had strep throat on his finger. He had a sore on his finger, and somehow he got strep throat on it. Or not strep throat, he got strep, the bacteria strep on his finger. I just took Willie to by way of his dad wanting me to, because the dad was working. So I took Willie to the doctor to have his culture done on his throat. He had strep throat. Now, I never had mine checked because I'm saying, no, I'm not relying on the Lord. You know, I mean, everybody has to do that according to what the Lord, you know, they have the strength to do. But my throat was sore for 3 days. And I just kept praying and thanking the Lord for my healing. You know, I come against, you know, and I had to repent of all that, listening to my flesh. I had to repent of all that and, you know, make my life right again with the Lord. But the Lord has after 3 days, I don't have no pain, not like I had when I first started out. It's just a little bit red and a little bit sore, but I can eat, I can drink, and I'm not on any antibiotic. I'm on the Lord. I'm on the Lord, not on any antibiotic. and I just thank the Lord for that, because I mean, He could have done worse, because I was not very good. You know, I was a bad. I was not a nice camper, I guess you could say. I didn't listen to my flesh when I shouldn't have, you know. Got myself overtired. I thought, okay, if I would have spent the night somewhere, maybe I wouldn't have had all this trouble. So sometimes you don't, when you're overly tired, you're not sure that you're listening to the right voice. And you may not be listening to the right voice. So anyway, I just thank you all for being there. I just feel like I'm so blessed that I can connect with you all and be able to be down there, and I'm still wanting to come down again, and you know, if the Lord wants me to stay, which I kind of have a sense, but there's things going on here now again that I don't know if the enemy's trying to bring confusion, but I just pray, Lord, that you work out what you want me to do. You show me what you want me to do. I don't want the enemy's tactics. I don't want the enemy's ways. I want your way, Lord. I want your will, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Father, for it. I think that's the hardest thing is sometimes when you think you're hearing from the Lord and it's the flesh enticing you, you know, and you don't realize it at the time, especially when you're focusing on whatever else you're doing.
Yeah, that's especially when you get busy or get into works or get distracted and you're not in the Word.
Guilty as charged.
And the flesh will put, because there's been situations where I had a thought and I went and did something and I was totally set up by the flesh, and it just turned, I mean, the whole situation just turned into a huge trial. And it was just the flesh. I was just being led of the flesh, but the neat thing is you can see, and then what happens is with you, when you get tired, I mean, the enemy can just, I mean, when you're tired and you're at that point, the enemy can just, you know, your defenses are down, and the enemy can, you know, takes advantage of that too. So
yeah,
so Father,
Sorry,
I'm just going to pray for you. Father, we just thank you for Sue. We just thank you for this healing. And Lord, she sees where she was being led of her flesh, and you know, she wasn't being led of you. And Lord, we just ask that you just give her direction as far as with her family, as far as direction, just you know, not to be an enabler, but to be led of you and to do what you want her to do. And we just, you know, come against any fear of man or fear of what others think. And we just ask you just give her boldness. And I just come against confusion. And we just forbid that in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we just thank you that you're going to speak to Sue. You're going to give her dreams. You're going to give her just wisdom. And you're gonna show her what she needs to do, where she needs to be, what she needs to be doing. And Lord, we thank you for that in Jesus' name.
Yeah, thank you, brother.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, the flesh can definitely set you up.
it certainly did, and but I'm bouncing back by the Lord, through the Lord, not through myself. That's for sure. Because self is not the answer.
Amen.
I've been guilty. All right. Yeah. Amen. Love you all.
We love you too. All right. Who else has got something they'd like to share?
I would like to share something, brother.
Awesome.
All right. I was before the Lord, and some thoughts were coming to them, so I wrote them down, and I just wanted to share them because I just sense they're not exclusively for me, but I sure take them to heart.
Okay.
Be joyful and full of good fruits, Be selfless and lay down your life for others. Do everything with a right heart, a right spirit, and a right attitude. Dwell on good things. Take your thoughts captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Be a blessing. Give of yourself and your resources. Freely you have received, to freely give. Exercise daily your body, soul, and your spirit. Memorize, recite, stand on God's word. Forbid murmuring and complaining from entering your heart and from flowing through your mouth. Stop all that is grieving to the Holy Spirit. Cease from grieving the Holy Spirit. Destroy the works of darkness daily and fear the Lord, nothing and no one else. Delight in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. Count your blessings daily and know you are loved, watched, and cared for by God. Exercise your free will with wisdom from above. Live to please God. Serve and worship Him only. Drink lots of pure, clean spring water. Fast regularly. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks for all things. Rejoice evermore. Submit all your members to Christ Jesus. Study to show thyself approved. Know the scriptures. Use them. Walk them out. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Let the joy of the Lord be your strength. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. Submit your will always to the will of God. Put the axe to the root of all negative emotions. Yield all your members to the Lord, always. Give no place to the devil. Frustrate him. If ever you get angry, ensure it is for righteousness' sake. And sin not. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Do not get angry at flesh and blood. Take the authority God has given you, always. Rule your spirit by the power of the Holy Spirit. Submit to the Lord, resist the enemy, and he will flee. Know who you are in Christ. Believe who you are in Christ. Declare who you are in Christ. Be all God has called and made you to be in Christ. Yeah. Conform to the image, character, nature, and ways of Jesus Christ. Live to be in His image and likeness. Fear God and live. Fear God and be wise. Fear God and have knowledge and understanding. Engage the enemy in the battlefield of your mind. Don't give him any place. Don't give him any part. Kill his plans and schemes and devices. Abort them to his face. Declare the truth as the Lord Jesus did in the desert. Stand on God's word always. Wield the sword of the Spirit mixed with faith. Overcome. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Love your husband more than yourself. Do that which is right in the sight of the Lord. Keep His commandments. Keep His statutes. Keep His holy ways. Keep yourself clean. Do all you do because you love God and because you want to please Him over the devil. Remember, when you choose God's ways, when you yield to Him to please Him, you are rejecting, rebuking, and repelling the enemy. Choose this day whom you will serve. Choose to be holy as God is holy. Draw close to the Lord and He will draw close to you. Feed your body good, nourishing food as God intended food to be and not as man intended food to be. Have it in its most natural state. Prepare it with love and care. Consume it with joy and peace, and in moderation, not in excess. trust the Lord always, and especially during your seasons of fasting and prayer. Know that much good is being accomplished to spirit, soul, and body during the seasons of fasting and prayer. Know that God is with you and for you. Remember how Jesus Christ fasted 40 days in the desert and the enemy tried to tempt him. Yet Jesus resisted. He was submitted to the Heavenly Father. Humble your soul with fasting. Cease not to pray. Expect to receive from the Lord anything He chooses to bestow upon you during this time. Be in expectancy and listen. God is speaking and He wants you to hear. Be prepared to receive angelic visitation from the Lord. Be ready to receive a rebaptism in the Holy Spirit and a baptism in fire for His kingdom, for His glory, for Him, not for yourself, to become puffed up and, God forbid, say, look at what I can do. Always remember you are nothing and can do nothing good apart from the living God Almighty, who is your life. Live a life of obedience unto the Lord and unto your husband. Change your ways. They don't work. The Lord has been merciful and gracious and patient with you. Don't push Him. You have His word. You know His word. Do it. The time is short. This is not a time for games, and God forbid testing the Lord. You must die to yourself daily, as the Apostle Paul did. You must take up your cross and follow Him. Wake up. In every way you've been slumbering, wake up. You were not born into this world for yourself, to indulge in your lusts, to fulfill your desires, and to attain to your ambitions. You were born to be a follower and worshiper of the Lord Jesus Christ, to deny yourself, to obey Him, to follow His example, to keep His ways, to love, honor, and serve Him. Eliminate all stress and possibility of stress from your life. Cast your cares on God. He is your rock. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Serve your husband with joy, in reverence of him, in honor of him, and in God's love for him. Come up higher in the Lord. Limit him not. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Tend to it with the best possible care. Refuse, reject, repel, rebuke all that is tainted, polluted, corrupted, vile, debased, and a stench to God's eyes and ways from entering into your spirit, soul, and body through your eye gate, your ear gate, your sense of touch, smell, and taste. Allow only that which is holy to enter into your life, only that which is of the Holy Spirit. There is no place in you for anything else. Cleanse your hands and purify your heart. Let go of fear. Fear is a spirit. I have not given you a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind, self-discipline. Believe the truth, reject the lie. Come into the fullness of your destiny in Christ Jesus. Release self-condemnation, unworthiness, beating up on self, and constantly looking to the past. Let it go, look ahead, not behind. Be quick to forgive. Hold no aught against any. Be free, for Christ has made you free. Don't entangle yourself with bondage, and don't believe lies. Christ is risen, risen indeed. Resurrection life lives in you. Know this life, embrace this life. Go where God leads you. Stay where God has you. Be in Christ at all times, in His spirit and life. You are beautiful in the sight of God, for you are His creation, His beloved, His child, his called out one. Be with him, stay with him, live for him, serve him. Take all God has given you. It's yours. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Love, love, love. Do what God tells you to do every day. Don't just talk about doing this. Wait on God and do whatever he speaks to you to do specifically. Be faithful to the one who is faithful to you. Honor the Lord with your acts, not with your lips, with your heart, not with your duty. Surrender to him daily and live a surrendered life unto him. Not my will done, not my will be done, Lord, but yours. Be his living sacrifice at all times. Be on high alert to hear his voice and obey. My sheep hear my voice and they obey me. Yield to the Holy Spirit in all your ways. Be in submission to God and to others. Smile. It lights up your face and reflects your heart. Be of a meek and quiet spirit in truth. Be consistent before people and in private. Be a blessing to your husband. Encourage him and build him up. If it's not of Christ's heart and spirit and character and nature, don't share it. Resolve to be pleasant always, to put others before yourself, and to keep from corrupt communication. Withhold your tongue from speaking evil. Give people the benefit of the doubt. Believe all things. Hope all things. Be kind. Gentleness is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. The world doesn't revolve around you, and it's not all about you. Pass down this lie. I don't know if I said that right. I think you know what I mean there. It's just more dying to self. You are not spoiled. The enemy wants to keep you in a rotten state. Deny this. Do not yield to evil spirits. Grasp the heart and mind of God and claim them as your own. For you are made in his image. Be purified, be sanctified, be refined, be in the Father's will. Be holy as he is holy. Run the race of God with passion and perseverance. Grow as a living being daily in the sunshine, S-O-N-shine, of Christ's love and grace and peace and presence. Be still and know God. Let him be your all in all. Choose life. Choose health. Choose joy. Choose Christ. Choose to obey God. Choose his ways. Choose love. Amen.
Wow. There was a lot in there.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
was awesome.
Okay. Thanks for letting me share that. It was kind of hard for me to share, but I thank you for letting me share, and I trust that someone was blessed by that too, as well as I, when I just felt the Lord dictating to me, and so I just have to go back and read and reread and remind myself, how to walk.
Amen. Did you put that together, Angie?
Yeah. Well, I felt like I was. I just started writing and it just flowed and flowed and flowed, and I believe the Lord was speaking to me, and then I shared it with Michael, and then he said, I don't think that's just for you. And so I said, well, I'm more than happy to share it. So but it sure is a word to me, and I trust that it's a blessing to someone else as well.
Oh man, there's just so much truth and wisdom in that. I mean, it's just everything. I would really like to get a copy of that if you're comfortable with that.
Absolutely, absolutely. I'm happy to share that. I will send it out to you, brother. I'll just put it in writing and I'll send it out.
I mean, there are some points there that that you struck, is, you know, knowing who you are in Christ and believing who you are and declaring who you are. You know, I mean, there was a few things that really, you know, really hit me. And if it's not Christ, don't share it. And the, you know, the world doesn't revolve around you. It's not about you.
Mm.
And I mean, those, I mean, there's, you know, just not your will, it's His will.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it was, I mean, that was just, I mean, there's some things there that just really totally blessed me.
Well, hallelujah. Thank you, brother.
Be a doer, not a talker.
Amen. 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 Help me, Lord.
But yeah, there's just so much there. Just, you know, as far as just, I mean, even just, you know, I mean, just where the enemy tries to get us in self-condemnation and mm-hmm. Looking at our past and looking who we were, looking what we've done, and not looking ahead or looking at the promise, you know. And I mean, that was great. That was just, you know, guarding the, you know, just everything that brings in anything that isn't holy, you know, are in your gates and all that. I mean, it's just, you know, it's so much truth behind that, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, no, that was beautiful. That was really,
praise
that really
God.
Blessed me. So.
I would like a copy too, please. That was such a blessing.
Oh, bless your hearts. Yeah, amen. Well, I'll write it out because I don't have a computer at home, and so I'll just write it out neatly and I'll send out to Tim, maybe. Michael's saying send a copy to Tim, and then maybe Tim, can you make a copy to everyone?
Yeah,
copy?
I could do that.
Okay.
I mean, it may end up on the website if you're comfortable.
Oh yeah. If you want to, absolutely.
Angelica.
Yes.
It's Michael. If you'll send it to Tim, I'll make sure we get it on the website, and that way anybody that wants a copy of it can get it.
There you go. That sounds good.
That'll
yes,
work.
Let's do that. Okay, you
thank
got
you
it.
So
thank
much.
You. God bless you. You're so welcome. Be blessed. Be blessed. I'm glad you were encouraged to. Thank you, Lord.
It's good to go through that again because we never know what portion we might need for each day.
Amen. I have to go back and reread and remind myself, and it helps me get back on track. Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, sister.
Oh, God bless you, sister. Thank
you. God bless
you.
Yeah, that was really good. That just hit on a lot of... you know, a lot of things as far as, you know, don't focus in on murmuring and just, you know, just stand in the Word and, you know, freely give and just fearing the Lord and, you know, just all the key points, praying without ceasing, denying self and, but really, I mean, what spoke to me is just really knowing who you are in Christ, believing it, declaring it. Because the enemy's always trying to show you who you're not in Christ. Don't give place to the enemy. Be an overcomer. You know, walk in love. You know, draw close to the Lord. Just trust in the Lord. And just know God is always with you. So, yeah, that was awesome, Angela. So, all right, who else has got something that's on their heart, anything they'd like to share?
Well, Tim, Missy.
Hey, Missy.
What's that, Sheila? I just wanted to also say that, tell Angelica that really blessed me, too. Anyway, thanks for sharing that. I just wanted to tell everybody that Tuesday when I was sharing about my trip, I just wanted to say that I was sorry for taking so much time and that kept others from sharing. So I just wanted to say I'm sorry for that. And anyway, so that's just basically what I wanted to say.
Okay.
And we love you, and God bless y'all.
Oh, we love you. So, you're just excited about your trip. Yes?
Yeah, this is the other Mike. I'd like to say to Missy that what she said, I found it was a real blessing. I knew who she was talking about, and I was very glad to hear her report.
Yeah, it was exciting for me. It was, yeah, the Lord just orchestrated that whole thing. I was just totally amazed. But anyway.
Yeah, it was kind of. I know that Missy was excited as far as being used of the Lord, and which was really neat. And the person that they were administering to had just, you know, basically spoken a curse on themselves when they were years ago, and you know, when they came out of a bad situation, and didn't realize that curse. And you know, through their praying and, you know, administering that, she just, you know, the Lord brought that to her remembrance, and what she had spoke on herself is basically exactly where she was in that point of time, and the Lord showed her that. And you know, which has got to, you know, we got to be real careful, you know, what we speak. There's so much power on that, but exactly what she cursed herself, I mean, I don't know how long ago, it was 20-some years ago, is what, you know, she was living in right then and there. That's, you know, that was a struggle she was dealing with. But there's power in the tongue. But the Lord revealed that, and, you know, they were able to, you know, come against that curse. And so sometimes when we're in trials and stuff like that, we need to press into the Lord and press into others, and, you know, God can use others. God can use, you know, situations, you know, words of knowledge, and really help to bring, you know, show what the roadblock is, what the cause of the curse was. So, but I had somebody else share with me that their husband, you know, basically always spoke that he didn't want to live past 50. You know, that was something that, you know, I'm probably going to die at the age 50 or something like that. I mean, he was always, you know, speaking this curse. And it was like on his 50th birthday or right after his 50th birthday or something. I mean, it was just right around there. He had a heart attack. I mean, he didn't die, but he had a heart attack. And they saw that, you know, he had always claimed about, you know, only living to 50 or something like that. And, you know, he just spoke a curse on himself. So, and I was talking to another brother, and he's working with a bunch of people that are, you know, a little worldly and he's just like, it's unbelievable. They walk in, it's like, my leg is killing me. And, you know, just constantly just speaking curses. And, you know, he's got to kind of steer them because they're not really, you know, walking in the fullness of the Lord, but he's just seeing how these guys are just constantly speaking curses against themselves. And, you know, that's another thing we learn in the world. That's part of that programming. So we learn to curse ourselves and rely on man and not God. So, but it's powerful what comes out of our tongue. So, amen. But yeah, that was a good testimony, Missy. All right, anybody else?
Well, can I just say something quick? When she said the curse that she spoke on herself, I mean, my mouth just flew open. It was like it was literally on the floor. You know, I was like, that's it. I mean, I would like to see the expression on my face, because I just know that I had this, like, look of absolute amazement. I was just, it was so God, you know. I was like, wow, crazy Jesus.
Amen. And that's the thing, is if we ask God to reveal it, you know, he'll use other people to reveal it. He can use anybody. He can use a donkey. I mean, I shared before that I was delivered of a witch doctor spirit, and it was, I mean, when this spirit came out, it was pretty amazing. It seemed like a 10-minute long scream. And I kept asking the Lord, I said, Lord, what was that? Where did that come from? Where, you know, this and that. And one day I went in to my mom, and we really didn't get along that well. I mean, there was always just some tension there and that. And I went to visit her one day, and she just divulged that I had an aunt that when she was pregnant with me, you know, laid her hand on her stomach and started, you know, declaring that I was going to be some kind of a native Indian or something, or some kind of a curse spoke on me in the womb. And I'd never heard that story. I don't even know who the aunt was, anything like that. But I asked the Lord to reveal where that spirit came from. And it was a short time after that, and this came out of my mom. And it was like, wow, thank you, Lord. So we just got to be persistent and ask and patient. Amen. All right, who else got something that's on their heart? Don't be shy now.
I have a prayer request.
Okay.
This is Terry.
Hey, Terry.
Hi. This weekend I'm going to be speaking at a ladies' retreat, and I'm going to be speaking about, it's basically the older women are to teach the younger women to love their husbands and children. And I'm going to be giving my testimony, so I just would like prayer for that. I'm speaking in front of more people than I ever have before. And I've been having just terrible struggle with the flesh, and the flesh has been winning regarding fasting. I have not fasted in a really long time, and my flesh is resisting it it's just really ridiculous, the struggle that I'm having with that. So I would like prayer for that, too.
Okay. All right. We can do that. So, Father, we just come to you. We just lift up Terry, Lord, and she's going to be sharing her testimony and sharing with some women this weekend. And, Father, we just ask right now, Lord, that you just put an anointing on her, Lord. We just come against fear. We come against fear of man. We just come against anything that would steal from her testimony. And we just ask, Lord, that you just give her boldness to speak what you want her to speak, to bring forth your truth, to to share what you want her to share, Lord. Let her be led of you, Lord. And we just thank you for that, Lord. And I just forbid the enemy from trying to, just bring any distractions or, any fear or anything like that. We just rebuke that now in the name of Jesus. And, Lord, we just thank you for that anointing. We thank you for just that boldness that Terry's going to bring forth, that there's going to be some women touched and some truth brought forth, and that truth is going to set some people free and some women free. We thank you for that, Lord. Just bless her. And, Lord, she's just struggling in her flesh with fasting. And, Lord, we just bind up that lie that's in her head. We bind up, whatever the fear is, whatever the flesh is lying to her. And we just forbid that in Jesus' name, Lord. We just ask you to give her strength, when it comes to fasting. And she just wants to walk in obedience. And we just thank you for working in her for your good pleasure, Lord. Putting that flesh to death, we thank you in Jesus' name. But, yeah, Terry, that, I mean, fasting really puts the flesh to death, and it just doesn't want to die. So sometimes I just, I mean, sometimes I'll just go, start off with just, fasting everything but fruits and vegetables, or, what I would call, I used to call a Daniel fast, and, and step into a fast like that, or maybe start with that, and then another time, do something like that. But, or sometimes I got to fast coffee first, get off the caffeine, and then I might go into a Daniel fast, fruits and vegetables, and, go into a straight fast. So I don't know, some other people might have some suggestions, but I think it's just, just obedience, to the Lord, and just, giving up things that really please the flesh. I know some people just, they might fast entertainment or internet or, different things, and, just, kind of start walking into, because the flesh is mortified when you try to give up everything at once, It screams and throws fits and murmurs, and, if you want to get it stirred up, man, just plan a fast,
Hey, all right.
Hey, Michael.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I've found a couple of things that might be helpful if people are not seriously used to fasting is try to take a time when you can spend time with the Lord and you're not going to be doing all the busyness. You kind of need to be unplugged from a lot of the distractions that keep a person's mind, with the world. I find that if I can take serious times of prayer and in the Word and worship and just take separate time, that it's much more effectual, because I've had times when you do a long fast, but you're busy with so many things. It's really not as effectual as just taking a consecrated time where you're very focused on eternal things. And I've found that if you'll, take some green juice, or something, I'm saying green things, so like my wife makes, a little carrot juice or a little something, or even fruit juice, but something when people are not used to doing the straight water fast, and even just doing juice, and you can still do a very effectual fast before the Lord, and you'll find that your body, if you do what Tim said and quit the caffeine 2 or 3 days before, if you have black tea or you're used to having any kind of caffeine, then cut that stuff off 2 or 3 days before, or it will give you a headache. And then when you do start, you'll make it much more pleasant. And you'll find that if you do good juice, even some fruit juices or something natural, don't drink garbage, but something really good for your body. And you'll find that it's not difficult to go a long time. You can go 3 weeks or whatever, with just juice, and your body doesn't really suffer. It's more that you like food, and your body likes the taste and the smells, and if you're around somebody that's cooking, fine steaks or something while you're fasting, that can be difficult for somebody, but that doesn't bother me. I can cook for other people when I'm fasting, but the thing is I've found that drinking juice and just staying focused on eternal things will make it much more effectual. And I think it's kind of like once you've gained victory in this thing, it's like memorizing a scripture. Once you get started with some verses, you'll find you can do a chapter. Once you've done a chapter, you'll find you can do a book of the Bible. Or, it's gaining victories and greater victories in our hearts. And once you've, it's not a challenge to go for several weeks, because it's something that after years and years of practice at that, it's not that hard. Once you realize your flesh can, you can say to your flesh, you're not in charge here. The Holy Spirit is going to be in charge, and you're going to take the back seat, Jack. And just and bring it to a place where you can do that, and you'll gain victories. And once you've gained a victory, then keep it and get another one, and go a little, you know, not that long lengths of time is the only thing that makes an effectual fast, but there are times for that. I think that sometimes maybe once a year or something, a long fast is healthy for your spirit, soul, and body. But anyway, that's just my two cents.
All right. Well, thank you.
Yeah, that's really good as far as that. Because I've done prolonged juice fasts, and where I've just only had juice. I'll mix up just fruit in a blender and add some juice to it, or sometimes we actually have a juicer and we'll juice carrots and stuff like that. And the Lord knows your heart, and it's just, and that's true. It's just, you know, it's best if you can have at least, you know, even starting off on a weekend where you can just press into the Lord and spend that time. Because I tend to have to step into a fast like that. I'll start off with a Daniel fast, go to a juice fast, and then, you know, maybe a water fast or something like that. But that was good wisdom there, Michael.
Yeah. Can I say something?
Oh, yeah.
Hey, what Michael said was key. It's to have time to spend alone with the Lord. That's what it's all about. You want to hear from the Lord. And so if you're doing the busy work, you're not hearing from the Lord, you're doing busy work. So it's
right.
The best time to do it is when you've got time to spend, you know, spend with the Lord. And I wholeheartedly agree with that. That's what I try to do anyway.
Thank you, everybody.
Right. Anybody else have a thought or a comment on fasting? Or what you're going to do? Yes, sir.
I just share what happened to me. I think it was a couple years ago, and I'd done a lot of fasting in the past, but we hadn't fasted for a while, and I got that same place where Terry is at, where I felt like, I told my wife, that I don't think I can even do this fast this time. I just really felt I couldn't do it, and I felt the Lord showed me I was counting on my strength to not be able to do it, and I needed to ask Him for His strength, and that fast turned out to be a really easy fast.
Amen. When you get out of your works and totally rely on the Lord, that's awesome.
Yes, I believe that that's the lie I've been believing, is that I have to do it in my own strength.
I think that whether it be fasting or worship or prayer or anything that we do, God's looking deeper than just our external. He's looking at our hearts. And the whole key thing with any of it, He says, when you worship, the Lord's seeking those that are worshiping in spirit and in truth. He doesn't want a whited sepulcher where we have an outward form. The Pharisees could fast. They were into fasting, very disciplined with all of these things. But the whole thing that God wants is that there is actually a hunger in our heart that says, I'm more hungry for the eternal kingdom and to be useful to the Lord than I am for the things of this world or for food. And I'm willing to put that aside because I'm seeking a deeper encounter with the Lord and a deeper reality in my experience with God. And the whole thing with all of it, whatever we do, when we give, people give with ulterior motives. But some people give with pure love. Whether it be your giving, whether it be your prayer or fasting or worship, if you do it, God's looking at your heart. And if your heart is crying out to please Him and to honor Him and to be a vessel that's yielded to Him, that pleases God, and He will give you much grace if that's your motive.
Thank you.
Amen.
Lots of good advice. Thank you.
Well, you're going to have an awesome testimony this weekend, so I want to hear the praise report.
All right.
So... All right, we're getting ready to close out. Is there anybody else that needs any prayer before we close out, or is there anything else they want to share?
Just one more comment, Tim, that when we do
our
fasting, as Jesus says, don't let your left hand know what your right hand does. If you want to be honored by God, don't tell everybody what you're doing. Just keep it between you and God.
Amen.
Ah, more wisdom. That's real good. That's real good. So, all right. Anybody else have anything? Well, Father, we just thank you for another awesome night. And we just thank you for just guiding and directing us, Lord. And Father, if there's anybody out there that struggling with fasting or wants to enter into a fast, Lord, we just ask you to just give them grace and strength to press into you, Lord. We just thank you for that, Lord. And Lord, we just ask you just guide us this week. Just help us to walk in your love, in your obedience, and just faithfulness, and just walking right with you, Lord. And Lord, just expose anything that's unpleasing in our flesh, and just give us the just the strength to put it to death and not to justify and keep that flesh alive. Lord, we just want to come into your fullness, Lord. We thank you for just our renewed minds. We thank you that you have put in us to walk this crucified life and to put to death this flesh and come out of the world and to just to try to walk pleasing to you, Lord. And we just thank you for that, Lord. We just thank you for just everybody in this fellowship. Just ask you just bless them. We just thank you for just lift up David. We just thank you for just just the truth and wisdom you've given him and the knowledge you've opened his eyes up to the word and just the obedience to share it and just the people that he's touched with that, Lord. We just ask you just bless him, Lord, and we just come against the ploys of the enemy to bring distractions and to come against the materials. And we just forbid that in Jesus' name, Lord. We just ask you just bless everybody that's working in the ministry and to bring forth, these books and materials and, just to get your truth out, Lord. We just thank you for that. So, Lord, guide us this week and just give us just a hunger for more of your word and we just come against any distractions. Just show us any stumbling blocks in our lives and that are keeping us bound up or keeping us out of obedience and help us to be overcomers and we thank you for that, Lord. Just guide and direct us this week in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good night, everybody.
Tim?
Yes.
I was just thinking, I wanted to encourage this lady about fasting, and this will just take a second, but in the early 80s, my husband was a businessman, but God gave him teachings for Christian businessmen. So one of these seminars that my husband would give, my husband would pay for everything. He didn't charge. God says, I freely given to you, and you need to freely give. But this one pastor said, I'd like for you and Linda to fast for 9 days before you come to give this seminar. Well, at that time, I was raised with my mother doing three-day fasts, and I didn't really know about other fasts. So I told my husband, I said, honey, I love you. And I want to fast with you, but I've never done a 9-day fast before. And I said, if I do a 9-day, I sure want to get credit from God, because that sounded like eternity to me at that time. So he wrote me a 10-page report about what God said about fasting from Genesis to Revelations. After I read this report, and at the end of the report it says, who fasted, how many days they fasted, how they fasted, and the results of their fast. After I read that report, I was so encouraged and could not wait to fast. And so what we did in that case, the first 3 days, we fasted like Esther and Nineveh, the first 3 days without food or water, and then the rest with just water. And it was the easiest thing I had done. I was just shocked. I think I was just so excited, and for and his report showed me the benefits of fasting, and I just couldn't wait to do it. Well, anyway, this fasting report has been given to businessmen around the United States and some in foreign countries, and it's on the website that we have under Bill Weaver Fasting. If you wanted to look that up just to study it, it'll just encourage you so much, and it's just dynamite when we do it. So I just thought maybe I could add that, since you know, she's wanting to fast, and we need to encourage each other, you know, because the flesh doesn't want to. So that's what I wanted to say, Tim.
That's awesome.
Thank you. I'll look that up. I'm going to look that up.
Yeah, it's on the website under Bill Weaver Fasting Report, and it's a 10-page fasting report, and it's just so fun to read.
All right, thanks.
You're welcome.
Actually, I think I'm going to, I haven't seen it. I guess I'm going to have to look it up and look at it. Sounds really interesting. So,
well, it really
thanks, Linda. You're going to say it really helped you?
Oh, I was just saying it really helped me, because, you know, a 9-day fast sounded like eternity, and Mother had only done 3-day fast. I was raised in a Baptist home, and I just thought that was all there was. You know, I wasn't saved.
Amen.
And I got saved later, and then my husband was my teacher, and, you know, I'm just thankful that my husband taught me that. And the thing is, it is so easy. I thought it would be so hard. God has had mercy with me, and I'm just not hungry. God just takes the hunger away, and I just am so thankful. You know, I'd heard people having to fight that hunger, you know, and some do, I suppose, but it's been easy for me all these years.
Amen. Oh. Amen.
So the Holy Ghost is the one that gets...
Amen.
That's really good. I mean, that's a lot of wisdom. You know, don't let the right hand know what the left hand's doing. Just give it to the Lord. Let the Lord do it. And, you know, the Lord knows your heart. So he's gonna walk you through it. So, amen. All right, well, I guess we're going to close up, and good night, everybody, and we'll see you next Tuesday.